You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
So the focus today is our call to the nations. Even though God has called us to Hereford to do something in the nations, just as he spoke to his disciples, he spoke to his disciples in Jerusalem, go to all nations and make disciples. So our... turn that off. That's a... No, my notes are over there. but it's interesting, in past times when we've talked about missions, somebody once said to me, we've got enough to do in Hereford. Why are we talking about missions? And interestingly, not the first person to do that. William Carey, who was a missionary to India in 1793, is called the father of modern missions. It says this, he proposed that at a meeting of Baptist pastors, that in future meetings they should consider taking concrete steps to reach out to the world's unreached. A senior pastor curtly told him, young man, sit down. You are an enthusiast. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he'll do it without consulting you or me. He ignored that guy, and that guy was wrong. The fact is that God has a heart for the whole world. And if somebody hadn't obeyed the call to bring the gospel to this nation, we wouldn't be knowing Christ now. So we need to take the gospel to the nations. I'm going to jump straight actually now to our guest this morning. It's all that was a bit of a preamble to be to introduce to you John and Sue. Here they are, but actually, here they are. No, come up. Yeah, come up. Sorry. So they're going to show a video. Hopefully we're going to see this and hear it. But John and Sue are part of our Ross congregation, I think, although most of the time they are in Uganda. And so in a moment, I'm going to hand over to them. And I want them to say how on earth they ended up from Ross in Uganda, a bit of that story and how God called you, but then a bit of the work that you do.
Many years ago, we were living in Matlock, and we were involved in Help Africa. It was a charity started by Ted and Esther Kent. Some of you may remember them from way back with Covenant Ministries. And we used to go around and collect clothes and collect medicines from pharmacies so that they could be sent out to African countries. We were involved then with, we went to the Stoneleigh Bible Week, and there was a call for people who wanted to pioneer. And we felt that God had laid that on our hearts. And so we went forward to be prayed for pioneering. But then God moved us to Ross-on-Wye, where there was already an established church. So at the time, we were a bit confused. You know, what is God doing? He says one thing, and then it doesn't seem to happen. And, you know, that often happens, I think, when we're following God. He speaks to us, and then things don't quite work the way we think they're going to work. And people sometimes give up at that stage. But I tell you, we need to press in to see how God actually wants to do it. But while we were in Ross at New Life Church, there were people from Africa, speakers from Africa that came. And so all the time we were being exposed to the African connection. Then in 1999, we had a visiting speaker, and he prophesied over us at the end of the meeting to say that we would take the gospel to the nations. John whispered in my ear, Africa. And I said, no way, I'm not going to Africa. I did not want to go. I was very happy to help, but no, I did not want to go. But in 2001, our pastor at the time in New Life Church in Ross, he went to visit some of the people that he had connections with in Uganda and Kenya, particularly in Kisumu in Kenya. And when he came back, it was about April time, I think, in 2001, he asked the church, what is God saying now that we should do as we proceed with our connections in East Africa? And that was when God spoke to me. As I was praying and seeking the Lord to know what the as a church should do, God spoke to me that we should go. Now, he had to speak to me. It was no good speaking to John because he wanted to go anyway. But I didn't really want to go. And so I had this word from God. It was in my heart. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell John for sure. And eventually, after 3 weeks, because I kept thinking, oh, it'll go away. The thought will go away. It's just me. It's just me. But after 3 weeks, that was still there. That thought was still there. That calling was still there in my heart. So I went to see the pastor and I said, I think that God is saying that we go to Africa. And he said, yes, I agree. And very shortly afterwards, within sort of a week of that, half the church had said, yes, God's calling us all to go to Africa. And I'm thinking, not sure this is quite right. But you just have to wait. You have to see how God is going to unfold his plans. Anyway, our pastor tried to book seats for all of us, about 20 of us, to go to Uganda, but there was no availability of that number of seats available. And so he said, all right, we'll have to cancel it for this year. Perhaps we'll go next year. And people started dropping out and saying, well, I'll go to Spain instead. I'll go on a cruise. You know, very similar thoughts. But I knew that God had told me to go. So I obviously had told John by this stage, and we went to see the pastor and we said, whatever anybody else does, we have to go. Because when God puts a call on your life, you have to be obedient to that calling. You can't be influenced by other people and what they're saying and what they're doing. And so the next available opportunity for us to go was December, because I was a teacher, so I had to go with the school holiday times. And so we booked to go to Kenya, to Kisumu, to the project where our pastor had been, and we booked to go that Christmas. So it was Christmas of 2001. Now, I started researching, because I'd never been to Africa. I didn't know what it was like. I expected it to be full of nasty bugs, and I really wasn't very keen. So I started to research what it was like, what this person was, where we were going to Kisumu, all the things that I could possibly find out. And as I researched, I found that this guy was a fraud, that the things that he said he did, he didn't really do, but he borrowed somebody else's when the white people were there. And so I went to see our pastor and said to him, look, this guy isn't all he says he is. And the pastor wasn't very pleased, that's for sure. But, you know, he said, oh, well, you can't go to Kisumu because it would be perhaps too dangerous. So it was, where do we go? What do we do? Because I'd been collecting money at school to help the project in Kisumu with a chicken farm. What were we going to do? John Malindi, who I'm sure many of you know, and his team of people had been over, and they'd been into Hereford, they'd been into Ross-on-Wye. We'd met several of them, and one of them was actually still in the country, Arnold Mwangi. And so we got in touch with him. Did he have a project in Uganda that we could be linked with? And he had a friend who was building a school. And so he put us in touch with Pastor Deo Masoki, who was based just outside Kampala. So that was where we were going to go. So that was fine. But of course, we'd booked our flights into Nairobi because we were going to Kenya. So we had about 3 weeks before we were due to fly. what were we going to do? But God, you know, is never outthought. Earlier that year, 2001, we'd had a visit from a Kenyan pastor who's based in London. She'd come to our church in Ross-on-Wye to speak. She had brought with her a Ugandan who was supposed to be in the Netherlands, but his visa had failed. And so she brought him with her to Ross. Now, she stayed with the pastor, and this Ugandan, Martin Suna, stayed in our house. So we got to know him a little bit. Now, although he was a Ugandan, he actually was based in Nairobi. He had a house, and that was where he mostly lived. So we thought, right, what are we going to do? But God has put something in place. You know, he's never outthought. We always know that if God's got a plan, he's got a way of making that plan work. And so we got in touch with Martin Suna, and he arranged for his boy, his house boy, to pick us up from the airport, to take us to his house, to feed us, to give us a night's sleep. And then he also organized for us transport to get us from Nairobi to Kampala. We were going to go by road, which actually took 16 hours. But when we arrived in Nairobi and we got off that airplane, it was just like the Spirit of God really hit me. You're coming back. This wasn't just a one-off thing. This was something that God was birthing in us. And, you know, we knew that this was God's call on our life. We knew, even though we had no idea how it was going to work out, we had no idea what the next step was, but God knows. God knows the next step. So, you know, we didn't need to fear. So we set off the following day, and we had this driver. It worked out really, really well because it meant we had a Kenyan, so an African with us the whole time of our 10-day trip, so that he could help us negotiate the things that we had no idea about, because we'd never been anywhere like this before. So we arrived in Kampala late at night. We had pounds, we had traveler's checks, dollars, all sorts of currencies, none of which were any use at all in Uganda, because they all work with Ugandan shillings, which is the local currency. And we didn't have any of that between us. But we stopped at a petrol station, and a very kind person who had a phone card allowed us one phone call. So we phoned Pastor Deo, who we'd never met. We didn't know what he looked like. And to tell him that we were at this petrol station, which we didn't really know exactly where it was, but gave us best description as we could. So he came to find us and take us to a hotel. And that was the beginning of our relationship with Pastor Deo and his school. So that was in 2001. We are still working with Pastor Deo and his school in 2022, because that was on God's heart that we should help him and help him build his school. We actually had a word from one of John Malindi's team, who we also met when we were out there. And she said to me, you need to build a school. And I said, no, that's not my calling to build a school. I knew God didn't want me stuck in just one school. But of course, over the years, as we've helped Pastor Deo build his school, the prophetic word has indeed come about that we should help with that school. And over the following years, we visited Uganda every year for about 2 weeks, usually in the summer, during the summer holidays. That first visit was the following year, 2002, where I was asked to speak at a ladies' conference, a women's international conference. Now, I hadn't spoken. No, I hadn't preached properly at all at that point. I was not encouraged to in Ross. And so this was like, oh, this pastor that I'd met in Uganda, maybe she saw something that I didn't know was there, and she asked me to speak at her conference. So that was like just an amazing platform that God suddenly opened up, which he hadn't opened up here. And God doesn't always do the same things with us in the same places. You know, he's got a plan for each of our lives. And, you know, he will make that happen in the way that he wants it to happen. And then while I was working at Bishop's School, from about 2005 to about 2012, I'd take out teams of young people and their parents or friends of theirs to show them what Africa was about. So all the time there was this link. We were pushing forward with whatever God was going to do. We still didn't know how God was going to work it all out. And we kept sort of saying, you know, is it this year, God, you're going to open the door? Is it this year we're going to be able to go and stay in Uganda? We didn't know. But we kept on going. We kept on following. We kept on listening to what God was saying. And, you know, when you know there's a call, that God's got a plan for you, that you perhaps need to make preparations. There are certain things that we need to do. So we started to look around for some land to buy in Uganda. And God had taken us to the Sesi Islands on one particular trip, and we felt very much that that's where God was wanting us to establish a base. So in about 2006, we started to look around for some land to buy so that we would have a place. And as you saw on the video, we've called it Maranatha Gateway. And during that time, I was sometimes traveling with a lady prophet to sort of carry her bags, as it were. And everywhere we went, this is around different parts of Europe, everywhere we went, there would be at least one African. There would be some Africa connection. It was like God was all the time saying to me, it's Africa. You know, so if I lost heart a bit because nothing was happening, suddenly there would be an African. There was one particular conference we went to in Spain, and though everybody was white, there was one African from Tanzania. And somehow we got together anyway, because, you know, God does these things, doesn't he? And we got friendly with him, and he invited us to go to Tanzania sometime, which we did manage to do eventually. But we continue to sort of think, what else do we need? And then God spoke in 2010 and said, build the house. Now, John had just been made redundant, and it was, okay, so money has gone down and you want us to build a house? But we were obedient. John went out and started to build our house. And, you know, one of the things that is very important is that we're obedient to what God says. You know, whatever it is that he asks us to do, that we need to do it, and do it in a way that brings honor and glory to him. And the next thing that happened was a trip that we took out in 2012, the team that we had with us that year. Some of the people in the team came from Wrexham. And when we came back from that trip, one of our friends from Wrexham said, God has told me to come out and join you in Uganda. Now, this was just an amazing thing, that we were going to get some help. But the thing was that we had not been able to promote our own projects. We had promoted the child sponsorship. We'd promoted the schools. We had promoted the carpentry courses. We had promoted things that were other people's projects, as it were. But we couldn't promote our own work that we were doing because we didn't feel it was right. But when Mike came and joined us, he was a great communicator, and he was telling everybody about what we were doing. And the very first thing that we wanted to do, we told him we wanted to put in a freshwater well on our land so that the locals, the local inhabitants, our neighbours, could come and get fresh water. Because at the moment, they had to walk at least a mile to the next village to get fresh water. And so that was what we wanted to do. And it was going to cost about £2,000. Three people came up and said, I want to give you £2,000 for that well. Three people. And so to two of them, we had to go back and say, would you mind if we used it for something else? That was how God started to open up doors. We needed solar because we didn't have any mains electricity on the island. And people came and gave us money so we could put in solar. And it was just amazing how God opened that door. And in 2013, we were able, for the first time, to go and spend more of the year in Africa than we spent here in England. And God is just amazing. But you have to wait for the right time. You know, God will speak and God will speak into your life and he'll tell you things and he'll show you things. But you have to wait for his timing. If I honestly believe if we had gone to Uganda earlier than that 2013, that we would have failed and we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be where we are. But God opened that door. But I still needed confirmation for myself about what we were doing, because it just seems such an amazing call. You know, we were nothing. We were nobodies. We were just in a small church. And even though we were leading the church by that stage, it was, God, I don't understand you choosing us out of all the people you could have chosen. But he gave me this verse. It was actually one that was quoted on the video. Romans chapter 10. And from verse 13 to 15, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. That was the verse God gave me. So I knew that this was all right. This was all his hand. He was the one that was leading. He was the one that was taking us there. And so we went. And, you know, a lot of the things that you saw on the video, God has opened up all these doors. So many things. Every time we go anywhere, God seems to give us another contact and brings us alongside somebody else. But some of the people that we've met have been miracles, I think. We met someone who was a pastor from Tororo. Now, Tororo is right on the very east near the Kenyan border. And we're on the islands in the middle of Lake Victoria, a long, long way, hours and hours of traveling. And yet this pastor from Tororo had come to Kalangala to work as a driver for one of the local council people. And it seemed to me daft that God would bring somebody all the way from Tororo. Surely there were people more local. But he brought him so that he could meet us, so that we could develop a relationship, and we got called to go and speak in Tororo. So our first visit there was 2016, and we've been back most years apart from the lockdown year. God developed a relationship there where we've been able to go and speak into the villages. And then he brought a marine policeman all the way from Nebbi, right in the north of Uganda. Hours and hours and hours of traveling. Brought him to be a marine policeman in Kalangala. And we got to know him and we got chatting with him, and God developed the relationship between us, and we got invited to Nebbi to go and speak. And we've been again and again. A relationship has developed, but God has been in charge all the time. He's the one that has led us. And everywhere we go, we find there are more people that God wants to open a door. We got invited to the church in Tanzania, the pastor that I'd met in Madrid. I met a pastor in Dudley, who has a church near Ginger. We got invited to go to his church. And it's just amazing what God has done, the doors that he has opened. But I think that the key things have been that we have been obedient and we have been faithful. We have done what God has asked us to do and hopefully no more. We feel very privileged to be able to do the things that we do and help where we are. People can give money to us to help on a project. We're like a sort of a conduit. Money comes into us from people's generosity, and we're able to put it out to be able to help the projects out there. Of course, during the lockdowns, and Uganda was locked down at the very beginning, so we had almost 2 years of lockdown, and we weren't able to get back to the UK. We weren't able to go and preach anywhere. But then God opened a door for the radio program. Absolutely amazing. This guy we know, he has a radio program every Monday, lunchtime, and he asked us to go and speak on his radio program. So every Monday when we're there, that's what we do, go and speak on the radio. Of course, we can reach many, many more people through the radio because everybody out there has radio. So that was another way that we were able to continue to bring out the word of God. So God called us very definitely, very clearly, to go to Uganda. And we have been patient. We have waited for his timing. We have allowed him to lead us. And he has brought all these people across our paths. You know, it's all God's work. It's none of us. It's all of God's work. And we just thank him so much for his faithfulness to us and his goodness to us. Amen.
We're all called and chosen. We're all called and chosen for purpose. Not just to fill seats and have a sing song on a Sunday and have a nice time, a cup of coffee and go home and feel all warm and fuzzy. God's got a purpose. He called you out of the world. He called you into the kingdom. You're called for purpose. Some are called to go out. Bible gives us the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. A disciple is a follower, is an apprentice, to become like the master. You should be becoming like the master. You should focus on what Jesus did, because in John 14:12, Jesus said, "These things you will do, and greater things than these you will do also." Are you doing the things that Jesus did? Are you doing greater things than Jesus did? I ask myself all the time. And then the word comes back. Jesus didn't build schools. Jesus didn't have a child sponsorship. Jesus didn't put wells. And the works that God's given us to do are not the same as he actually did. They are more. We are reaching more and more people because at that time, Jesus' ministry was limited by what was available, the transport, the technology. We have more than that. And if you sat there and there's something stirring inside you, please come and talk to us. If your feet are itchy, come and talk to us. Because there's no point sitting there shuffling your bum on a Sunday morning thinking, I'm just getting nothing out of this, because God has got something more. You're called for purpose. It might just be serving here. It might be working in creche. It might be working in the cafeteria or whatever. But you need to be in the place that God has called you to be. You need to be at that point of ministry that God has got for you. You need to search your heart. You need to seek the Holy Spirit and find out. Because There's no point getting frustrated and thinking, well, I'm getting nothing out of this church. I'm going to go to the one next door, because you're going to come to exactly the same place. You need to be where God wants you to be. You need to be moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to go out, make disciples. You need to be like Jesus. You need to start moving in power, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to each and every one of you. It's freely available. And you can do exceedingly more than you could imagine. You just need to step out. You know, a journey begins with that first step. You know, we had to buy the ticket, we had to get on the plane, we had to go. But we had to make a decision. You know, when we'd lost everything, you know, Sue had given up teaching, I got made redundant, we got four kids and a mortgage, and God says, go and build a house. Really, God? You know, our income's gone down to 25%. Go and build a house. Go and build a house. What have we got? Loaves and fishes. What have you got? Are you prepared to sacrifice that for God? Lay it down. God will use whatever you have and multiply it. He will extend you beyond your natural ability in His supernatural ability. You will become more than you will ever be as a human being. You will be a child of God. You will be moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will see miracles. You will see signs and wonders, and greater things than these you can do. Are you prepared to do it? Are you prepared to step out? Praise God. You got one.
John, Sue. So great that to hear you obeying God. Just so great to hear what God's done through you. I do have to disagree with one thing you said. Sue, you said we were nobodies. It's not true. We are children of God. You're children of God. And, you know, it might seem for you, but some of us here, that is so far from our reality, we can never do that. It's not difficult. What we have to say is yes to God. And God, when he calls us all to a purpose, not just, as John said, sit on a pew. Because God has got something for us. The first step is to say yes to God. Just as we're closing the meeting, I just want to say before that is that we're going to have an opportunity to hear more about what John and Sue says on the, we're going to confirm this date, the 25th of May. They're going to be here at CLC to share more. But you can be involved. Not all of us can go to Uganda, but we can pray. And we will be putting in prayer points in the e-news and about how to pray for John and Sue. We can give, and for some of us it will be to go. Amen? We will go. But do the dangerous thing and pray, because God might just call you to go. Just to say about Uganda, we had a relationship with John Malindi some time ago, and we haven't got that connection now, but John Malindi is a ministry based in Uganda. And when that kind of stopped, we met John and Sue. Me and Adriana planted a church in Rosslyn, where I met John and Sue. And that was a really strange thing, because they were leading a church in Ross, but living in Uganda. God, it doesn't always do it the way we think. And so we have this connection with Uganda. We send money every month to Catalyst, part of the network that we're part of. And we were asked, can we redirect this money to Uganda, to a ministry there that Emmanuel leads in Uganda? And we thought, oh, another connection with Uganda. And actually, just recently, Pat, who's there, wave Pat, he said to me, I'm connected with a ministry in Uganda, Fountain of Peace, that helps children in Uganda. So maybe God is saying that we need to have a connection with Uganda. Maybe God is saying, CLC, God has got Uganda for you. And so we really need to, do we need to pray about that? I think we need to really pursue that. I think God has been quite clear in what he's saying. But for all of us, we might all not go to Uganda, but God has got the nations for us. Whether we go, whether we give or we pray, God has got the nations. Remember, if the early Christians had said, no, we've got enough to do where we are, we wouldn't be here now. We would be still heathens. So praise God for people who go, and we really want to pick up that call to the nations. And thank you, John and Sue, for that example that you are to us. It's great to have you as part of Christian Life Church.